Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here on the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Each week, we select from a menu of topics that could impact business growth to discuss with experts from a wide variety of disciplines. And today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Elena Vieira, Vice President, Director of Client Innovation at Wood, Gutmann, and Bogart Insurance Brokers to discuss how healthcare and employee benefits have changed, and therefore, we need to change the way we think about them. Welcome, Elena.
Thank you, Angela. It's a pleasure to be here with
you.
Yeah,
I'm excited to have you on the show. I think we might have booked this a few months ago, but finally got you on the show. So I'm excited. Now, before we get started, why don't you tell the audience about you and your company and kind of put things in perspective of who you are.
Sure. Thank you. So I am a 28-year veteran of the employee benefits industry, and that really basically refers to the health insurance, the dental insurance, all those perks that an employer would offer their employees as part of the package, the hire package. Wood, Gutmann and Bogart has been around for 30 years. We are a regional privately held broker, which makes us a little unique, especially in the aftermath of the Affordable Care Act, where so many privately held agencies decided to kind of cut and run or were acquired by larger firms.
Okay.
So we are very much committed to that small mid-market employer, and we like to say that there is no that we're a home for any employer with two employees and up to, you know, 1,000 employees. But we really don't like to get into too much too much greater size, just because we know that we've got the resources to leverage and really bring high-touch and high-technology solutions to our small and mid-sized clients.
Okay, fantastic. You said something, and I want to ask a question before I continue on. You said as small as two. So if a company, a small business, has two people,
yes.
is it their policies, or are you grouping them into some kind of a greater group policy?
There really aren't greater group policies at this point. That's actually something that we're looking into, and you may have seen a lot of news about, is this idea of association plans.
Okay.
But no, these are their own. This would be a two-employee group, and I'm starting my own benefits program.
Wow, that's fantastic, actually. As a solopreneur, so to speak, and have been previously, I remember getting my insurance for myself before, and that was not an easy task. Sounds like things have changed since I've had to do that. So part of your job also is looking and helping small businesses, so you're a hunter, in a sense, going
yes.
out and looking for new business. So when we think about business growth, and business growth from your perspective, what keeps you up at night when you think about growing your business?
That's a really good question, Angelo. And I think, first of all, I'm blessed to sleep very well.
Okay.
So, but I would say that it's the managing of expectations. And I think because employee benefits is such a high ticket item for any employer, I mean, it really becomes the second to payroll in terms of a business expense. And so the expectation is, there's a lot of expectations. There's, you know, why can't I pay less? What should I be doing in order to recruit and retain talent? What are the best plans for my employees? It's endless, but really managing those expectations, as much of a natural problem solver as I am, there are those occasions where it'll keep me up at night when I'll get a doozy, and it's tough to navigate kind of what's available and what the expectations are.
Sure, because it's not just about here's your plan. It's you're really solving the solution, the problem, the pain point, if you will, for the employer to make sure that they've got the best package for the lowest cost, right?
It is all about value, and the idea that as brokers we place coverage is only a very tiny part of what we actually do or should be doing anyway. Mm-hmm. it really is developing tactics and strategies to help an employer achieve certain initiatives. And we're seeing, as I know you and I have talked, a lot of attention on this idea of recruitment and retention and the benefits role in that, the employee benefits package role in that, okay. Which has really gotten to the forefront of recruitment and retention.
So when you talk about tactics and strategies, then, so really you're sitting down with the employer and saying, okay, what's your goal? Kind of like I do from a marketing standpoint, right? What are you trying to achieve? What's your goal? And you're doing the same thing. And so when I look at a strategy, and then eventually, you know, how are we going to reach, let's say, our goal? And then we bring in the tactics to help solve that. So it's really a similar process in the sense, except your tactic is whatever the packages happen to be.
It's completely similar to what you do. And you use a term about integrating marketing strategies.
Yes.
There really is not a lot of difference here. For us, it becomes... The marketing is almost internal. The marketing is the employer marketing to the employees. So... my role is integral to how do I sell the brand of these benefits to the employees and make sure that the employees are getting what they need out of the benefits. And that can get very challenging because we're talking about multi-generational workforces. Mm-hmm. We're talking about multicultural workforces. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all. And so it is all about developing a strategy that is very aligned to the demography of the group. You know, what kind of employees do you have? You know, are they highly Hispanic? You know, we obviously need the education piece is going to be very important. Either way, it's going to be spoken in their language or in the preferred learning method of that employee.
Okay. And to your point, it was interesting about the generational differences, right? Someone in, let's say, the younger boomers or Gen Xers are thinking very differently about their packages because maybe they have kids and those kinds of things versus if you're a 25-year-old millennial
right.
that never feels they're going to get sick in the million years, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, the statistics, there's just no end to the amount of information that's out there. And it's if you've got a lot of millennials in your workforce, you know, maybe you're not buying the most expensive plans because they're not, that's not the pattern of behavior for them is to buy lower cost mm-hmm. options. But you may have quite a number of Gen Xers or baby boomers in your also. Well, they definitely don't want those lower cost plans.
Right.
Because they have families. They might be more interested or need financial planning, coaching. So it's really kind of understanding what the demographics are and what the patterns of the buying patterns are.
Well, I think just in general, that insight alone for any small to medium-sized businesses that are listening to this show, the fact that really approaching your benefits and healthcare packages strategically, just like you do with your marketing and the sales of your program. Now, I was on your LinkedIn, and I love this line on your LinkedIn, and I'm going to read it. There are no magic bullets for reducing healthcare spend, but the market is breeding innovation in the midst of its transformation. Whether it's private exchange, a captive or something or some other creative strategy, employers have more options than ever. Now, that's a pretty broad,
yes.
arching statement. So let's drill down on that. So let's talk about, you know, meeting the transformation and innovation and healthcare spend and how those benefits help a company grow.
Yeah. So as far as the transformative comment is really because after the Affordable Care Act was disruptive to the industry. Whatever side of the aisle of the conversation you're on, the fact is the fact.
Right.
It was disruptive. And some good came of that. I think that, you know, a lot of us were forced to start to think and approach our business a little differently. I think that employers had, had to look at benefits differently. Some weren't offering benefits. Now they had to offer benefits. So that's where that transformation, and I think we're still in transformation mm-hmm. because the dust has not at all settled on the Affordable Care Act, whether it's staying, whether it's going. But I think it's good because what we saw and what I've really seen is this whole innovation kind of cropping up around the periphery of this transformation. And not necessarily, we're seeing benefits that maybe traditionally weren't considered benefits before. Things that are now falling under that employee benefit umbrella that, you know, 10 years ago you wouldn't have thought that was an employee benefit.
It didn't exist yet, and we're going to talk about some of those a little bit later on. Really, then, if we talk about part of the benefits package, then it really becomes a strategy for the employer, for client, for customer retention or employee retention. So I saw a study recently that 34% of new hires leave within 90 days. Mm-hmm. Several other studies that talk about 85% of American workers are either unhappy or disengaged. So we've got a kind of a dynamic within the workforce, whether you're unhappy and disengaged or you're leaving because you can, because the low unemployment, there's another job down the street. So what are some strategies or steps might you recommend to small to medium-sized businesses really in helping to drive that retention and build employee loyalty?
Sure. And you're right. I saw a number that was interesting last week where the number one reason someone would choose one employer over another was benefits, with health care, the specific, you know, health care being the number one. So absolutely, I think there's a gap in what, you know, you have employees that have benefits and they feel like they understand their benefits and they're confident in their understanding, but they will still rate themselves very poorly on this scale of using those benefits to their full potential. Mm-hmm. So gaps in these areas that I think make this idea of what are we paying for and how much value is there? It's important to kind of draw that correlation and help bridge that gap. So I would say first and foremost that most employers need to accept that the benefits are a great recruitment and retention tool. They can be, because they can be customized. So it's one of those, you know, there's limits to what you can do with payroll, right? I mean, unless you're going to do a huge reduction in force, there's not a lot of play there. But with benefits, you know, you can add here, take out there, repurpose some dollars. But the key is that it needs to align with the demographics of the group. So throwing a bunch of benefits at employees without really identifying whether or not those are relevant.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it does make sense. And so I think part of that becomes really that communication and that investigative side versus, hey, oh, by the way, we're giving you whatever XYZ benefits, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't really care about that, right?
Right.
And so I think that's a strategy I assume that you guys use, is really spending that time, just like I do, right? Who's your customer, Mr. Client, and let's really understand who they are. And same thing for you.
Right.
You're really kind of digging in, understanding those dynamics, then you're bringing your solutions.
Right. I mean, because solutions aren't solutions unless they're solving your specific problem. So, yes, there's the front end. And then on the back end, there's now we've got to deliver it and sell it to the employees. So that's where a really solid communication campaign, and depending again on the demographics of the group, do we do video? Because we know that certain Gen Xers respond very well to the video. Do they need a benefit guide, a printed guide? Because you've got some older generations that might prefer that. That's really the conversation. And then, or do we want to do one-on-one consultations, you know, where we're actually sitting in front of the employee, speaking to them about their very specific needs, and consulting with them to create that level of engagement, which I know can be a loaded word because it almost starts to sound a little, you know, mumbo-jumbo-y and, oh, it's engagement. But the truth is, if somebody's checked out and they're not connected to the value of what's being offered to them, that's kind of a problem, especially when it's this big a ticket item.
Sure. And I have been on the client side and sat in these presentations where I was being presented all my options. And, you know, here are four different or five different healthcare benefits for packages you can.
Right.
And I'm looking at this thing on, I have no idea what they're talking about. That's usually I take it home to my wife and say, can you figure this thing out? But I think that's really important. And you made, again, from a marketing standpoint and marketing internally, you know, your millennials are going to be consuming information very differently than your boomers, and you have to understand that it isn't. You said it in the very beginning; it's not a one size fits all.
No, and I would tack on to the comment you made about giving it to having your spouse look at it. Well, why not have the spouse at the meetings, or why don't create an opportunity for there to be a webinar where spouses are, because those are the things that we know are that needs to happen.
Yes, they're impacted. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So you're making decisions for the family without the family being involved.
Right.
I like that. We talked about, or you talked about, some of the kind of new benefits and tips and tricks that are going on in your industry. And I found this survey. It was conducted by Unum, 1,227 working adults. And they found that the most desired perks have to do with flexible work options and absence from management. So paid family leave, flexible remote work options, both received over 50% of the response. Then after that, it started to fall down.
Right.
So let's talk about a few of these, because some I've looked down, professional development, yeah, makes sense. Sabbatical leave. Now, I've actually, you know, I've heard that in the teaching world, but not necessarily in the business world where, hey, Mr. CEO, can I take a year off and do a sabbatical?
You know what? I worked at an agency for a few years, and the senior partners had the option of sabbaticals. I mean, think about it. If you could take 6 months off and, you know, refresh and come back and, you know, you're so much more productive.
That's interesting. Do you have any clients that are doing that right now?
I don't have any clients doing that right now. One thing I would say is I saw those numbers as well from the Unum report. I think that because millennials are they're really making up the biggest segment of the workforce for most employers today, I would venture to bet
it's having a little
skewing those numbers because they definitely are big on the flex time and the flexible work schedules.
Well, that might make sense for the one that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down the list, student loan repayment. Now, I've heard you say this before, and that just fascinates me. I have three boys that a few of them still have some student loans. So I find that really interesting as a benefit provided. So how does that work?
So first of all, who would have ever thought to say student loan repayment and employee benefits in the same sentence? What we're seeing is, and I think we're going to see a lot more activity from that. So we've got a lot of millennials walking into the workforce with a lot of student debt. But it's not just them. There's also, you know, some of the Gen X generation carrying some of that old student debt as well. Coupled with the fact that I think just plain old help with, budgeting and those types of things and coaching. So a lot of financial wellness solutions in this innovation space. So this student loan is interesting. We're seeing a lot of activity in the small and mid-market employer. Still a lot of sitting on the fence, right? Waiting for something to kind of shift. Larger companies were probably taking a very hard look at that Abbott Labs case that came out last year, probably 6 months ago, from the IRS, where the IRS said, okay, you can put money into an employee's 401k if they provide proof that they are making student loan payments. So now you have an employer helping an employee pay off student loan debt via the 401k. Even if the employee isn't participating in the 401k, because what happens if I've got a $300 or $400 a month student loan payment, I probably don't have a lot of money to put in my 401k. So once that was an IRS approval just for Abbott Labs, which is a huge employer, I think that was probably the chink in the armor, and we're going to see some movement there. Once it is a taxable, a benefited taxable benefit for the employer, I think you're going to see a lot of activity in that space. But in the meantime, there's a few vendors out there doing student loan refi, helping people refinance their loans, credit repair. They kind of bundle it as an offering. I just had we just put one of our clients there in one of those solutions there in December.
Okay, so the financial aspect, I see a few other financial oriented comments here on the list. It makes a lot of sense because a lot of students coming out of school, besides being in debt, they've never really had a lot of money, so they really don't know about 401. They don't retire. And what I've heard from my own kids, I've got a long ways to go. I'm not really worried about putting money away. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
No.
So one of them, There's a quick side note. One of my sons, my youngest son, actually has an internship, worked for an insurance company, and he was selling various insurance products. And he learned very quickly that about compound interest and stuff like that.
And the benefits of putting money in a
401k. Yeah, and he's the one that's a huge saver. So that definitely benefited for him.
But it's not just that young generation. It's a lot of people that are not ready for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? That they stay at work longer. So now you've got employers having to deal with that aging workforce and dealing with that. So it's fascinating and never a dull moment. I don't think I've ever, it's just like every week holds something very, very different in this world.
Well, it sounds like the idea of transformation, really almost like an evolution that your industry is going through.
It absolutely is. I think a necessary evolution, quite frankly. It'll be interesting to see where it ends up, but we'll just keep plugging away and taking advantage of all these the innovation that's happening.
Okay. There's a couple others. One that caught my attention was ID theft prevention.
Yep.
Now, of course, that's got to be the advent of the internet and all that stuff, because that obviously didn't exist before. But as a benefit, I find that very interesting.
Well, ID theft, pet insurance, those are two that fall under what we call worksite benefits, which are usually offered on a supplemental basis, meaning the employee buys it if they want.
Okay.
But it's... The idea, in my mind, is not to just offer benefits, just to offer benefits. It's really to solve a problem or fill a gap. And that's when we're approaching that conversation with a client. It's really about, ID theft. Well, who doesn't need that? Quite frankly, you never know, right? Mm-hmm. You could lose a credit card and all of a sudden you need to put a fraud alert on your account or you lose your wallet and you don't remember what cards you had in there.
Yep.
That's happened to me. So it's nice to have an ID theft policy to fall back on.
Okay, very interesting. I like the pet-friendly offices. I have the opportunity to work for, do some work with Purina, St. Louis. And in our meetings, in our presentations, there were, dogs at my feet and all over the place. I always said to them, why don't you have cats running around? They said, well, we tried that, but the cats, you can't kind of control them. They just have a mind of their own. So make for very interesting dynamics.
That's great.
I was giving a presentation one day, and there was a dog right up my feet, and his tail was doing this, and I'm a mover and shaker when I'm presenting, and I was very nervous I was going to step on him because he was the dog of one of the head folks.
Oh, geez.
Now, we think about healthcare in general and the cost of healthcare, and in the United States, the per capita basis spends much more on healthcare than other developed countries. And it's really, from what I can gather, not really about utilization. It's just about prices are just higher. And obviously, we can turn on any news channel and hear about this over and over and over again. So, that cost graph, that line keeps going up and up and up and up. So what are some suggestions that you might want to give our audience about how to control some healthcare costs?
So prefacing with no size fits all and also, kind of talking about the fact that there are some very specific solutions that given, the specific needs of a client or an employer and, their demographics and where they're located, all of those things, there might be some really kind of out-of-the-box solutions for them that we can leverage. But short of that, if we wanted to just on a very general basis, I think that the education piece is critical. So because if the employee is not understanding or if that's not a benefit for them, why spend that money? And maybe, and that kind of takes me to the second, point, which would be kind of repurposing dollars if you've analyzed your demographics and really understand kind of what employees need what, now we can, if you've got a bunch of millennials, well, you don't really need the richest plan in the market. You probably are okay with, bronze level plan or just a lower end plan because they're not historically buying that rich level of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that two-pronged, understand that there should be an alignment, kind of your integrated marketing strategies. It's the integration of what do people need, what do my people need, and then can I shift some dollars around? Okay, maybe I don't get a huge savings, but maybe I can repurpose the dollars. And then the other piece is following up with making sure that the employees are understanding and utilizing those benefits appropriately.
You have a couple peaks we talked about just before the show started.
Yes.
What happens in between those two peaks? I mean, what's your engagement and your involvement with your clients from that educational standpoint? Do you do quarterly meetings with them and making sure that employees are understanding? And because that is a huge, in talking to the folks on your side of the fence before when I was client side, they said that was one of the biggest obstacles they had was getting people to read the books and read the information. And because it was like, oh, yeah, it's too confusing. And
it's kind of so. We have two peaks, and unfortunately, we say you shouldn't only be talking benefits during open enrollment because that's not there's not an adequate amount of time for people to digest and understand. The challenge is, of course, making sure that employers don't they've got a core business, so talking benefits all year round is just not going doesn't make sense. So getting it to a point where you're pinging those employees and putting information in front of them in little bite-sized pieces over the course of the year is very, very important. But, you know, off the peaks, we're servicing, we've got compliance to help them with. We've got, you know, 6 months before the renewal, we're coming out to meet with them. So they're really, it's not like we're, oh my God, there's nothing going on, you know, during these peaks. There's definitely ongoing, you know, education and all of that that's going on.
All right. So then really anybody who's small to medium-sized businesses that are basically being sold some products and services and then they never see their agent again, if you will, that's really not what you want. Just like from a marketing standpoint, you're constantly servicing.
Correct.
So believe it or not, we are out of time. It went by really fast.
It did.
So why don't you tell the listeners how they can reach you and contact you if they'd like to have more information?
Absolutely. So I can be, you can email me at EV as in Victor, IERA, at WGBIB.com. You can obviously look me up via LinkedIn as well. Elena, E-L-E-N-A, Vieira, V as in Victor, I-E-R-A.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
I think
Angela.
This has been a great conversation. Certainly a lot of good strategy ideas. And frankly, I learned a little bit because I thought it maybe a little more cut and dry than I would have thought. And doing the research on this, it really opened my eyes. And you've even made them open up wider. Thank you so much for
that.
Thank
you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us on The Cafe today. You can find out more about me and read my blogs or view my shows at theponzagroup.com. Or connect with me on LinkedIn. That is the easiest way to reach out. And you can also subscribe to our show at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com, where we are on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and coming soon to iHeartRadio and others around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.